Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is the audio version of the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review. You can watch the video version and take part in a future episode by going to patreon.com/cultaholic.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look, it's over! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah!
It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
I find I talk to my cat like that now.
Yeah. Do you find lockdown just did that to you?
Yeah, I think it did. I think lockdown has had long-standing effects that I haven't quite shaken off yet.
Yeah.
Talking to the cat on the regular. It's the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review. Now, if you are watching on the Patreon, we are frozen once more, which is hilarious. That's that's a funny pose to freeze in, though.
It is a funny pose to freeze in. But if you could stop freezing, that'd be
lovely.
It'd be
could.
So good, OBS, if you could just do your job.
Bless OBS.
Just do your job.
OB blessed, as
no,
we all
OB
are.
OB fucking do your job.
We are here via our pit boys, our pet boys power DeLorean, back in the golden era of Monday Night Wrestling.
I mean, it's pet boys powered, but would it be a DeLorean?
Ooh.
Would it be not more like the Dumb and Dumber car?
A Pet Boys powered Dumb and Dumber car. Did the Dumb and Dumber car have a name?
I don't know. It was just big and had fucking fur on it.
Furry
didn't
car.
It? Yeah, furry car.
We're in that.
We're in the furry car timeline.
We're back in 1996, the halcyon days of the mid-90s where technology was king and slightly clunkier than we like.
God,
we love
people
it that
had,
way.
People had beepers and not just doctors.
Yeah. Oh. The best of people. And we had wrestling.
Drug dealers.
If you had your drug dealer on a beeper at this point, you'll love 1996. And who are we to go back into such a time period? I'd be Faye Jordy, radio presenter without portfolio, Tom Campbell, and I'm with resident WCW kid Sam Driver.
Hi.
Mere weeks from your trip to Hollywood land.
Yeah, next week.
Woo, next week away.
Fucking yeah.
Is this your last one before you go there?
This will be the last one before I go. I've got Marble Mania on Thursday. I've got to get all my dollars. I've got to make sure I've got enough clothes. I've got to make sure that the cat has everything he needs. And then... make sure that everything's ready for my sister to house sit for me. So it's a busy old week.
I was gonna say, is Cooper getting house sat?
Yes.
Staying at home?
Yeah, he's staying at home. So he's gonna be looked after and probably fed all of the dreamies in the land. But when I get back, he's back on his diet.
Yeah. But he's on a little holiday himself then, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of. That's what we said when we went to the Maldives and he went to go and stay in Halifax.
Nice.
I don't feel like you're getting the short end of the stick because we're going to the Maldives and you're going to Halifax.
No, I've looked at like cat boarding and stuff and it's expensive.
There's a really lovely cat boarding place in Yorkshire, which I looked at and I was like, it looks beautiful, but it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Whereas Alex's sister was free.
Yeah. Which that works.
Do that. Yeah. And it's still all, they don't care anyway. I remember getting really emotional when we said goodbye to Pablo.
Yeah.
So I think because we were so burnt out from like not going out, not having a holiday for years and years and years. And the plan was going to be that I was going to go with him to Alex's sister, spend a few hours with him, then come back. But then as it happened, they couldn't get to Alex's mum and dad's till late. So I ended up having to hand him over and then stay on. And they took him home. And it genuinely broke my heart.
It sucks.
I just got a bit emotional. Yeah. Alex had to give me a hug. And I just said, I just feel bad. Like I put him in a car and he doesn't know what's going on. And And then, in true Pablo Dickhead style, within an hour, it's like, yeah, he's here, he's fine. Yeah. He's eating a plant and he was sick and he was fine. Yeah. he was fine. And then he saw us when he came back and he was like, oh, it's you again. Like, he ain't bothered. We are very blessed to have wonderful people who reach out via the email classic@cultaholic.com.
I can see a wall of text.
This is two emails that we've had. That's one.
That's the other. That's two. Wow. Okay.
So two of your emails this week. Thank you very much for these. Hello, Sam and Tom. Wanted to pass along some info regarding the older female fan you guys mentioned a week or two ago from Nitro in Knoxville.
Was she a geek at a carnival? Do you know that they used to rip chickens' heads off, right, with their teeth?
I'm still getting fucking messages about that.
For money.
Oh, my God. I'm still getting fucking messages about that. Jesus, that's great. I'm getting that and messages about Dominik Dijakovic. That's been my fun.
What's your messages about Dominik Dijakovic?
Well, he did a promo on NXT where it looked like he wrote into a book. It looked like he wrote Justice Anthony NXT. And I thought, that's his new name. So I espoused in the video, this is his new name. Of course, you look closer, it says Justice Authority NXT.
Justice Anthony. So, I mean, it works.
Do you know what,
it works.
Right?
It's a WWE name.
It's a WWE name. Yeah. I blame the Vince McMahon administration.
But he's already had one name change. Why are they going to give him another?
Are you telling me that Justice Anthony doesn't sound like...
You get the name you're born with, right? Yeah. You get the name they give you, and very rarely you might get another one.
Exactly.
Very rarely.
Justice Anthony, I felt like was something that would fit in the WWE era.
It turns out you're just blind.
Turns out I'm blind and thick.
How dare you?
I've already left my keys with Adam Pacitti. I will not darken the door again. But anyway, so a few weeks ago, this lady was not a geek who bit the head off chickens. And thank you for the several hundred emails about
that. She was
that.
A nerd who stuck the heads back on the chickens.
She was a weirdo that thought she was giving them life. She was originally from Dayton, Ohio, before moving to Tennessee. My grandfather used to mention her every single time he talked about wrestling. If you ever hear anyone talk about Bouncing Beulah in East Tennessee wrestling, it's the same woman.
What?
It's a bit of a legendary fan from the area. Thank you and all of Cultaholic for what you do. As a night shift worker who also suffers mental illness, the content is essential for personal distraction as well as needing constant content to listen to at work. Keep it up. We will do. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening.
And thank you to Bouncing Beulah.
Yes, thank you to Bouncing Beulah for gracing our screens.
Right. I'm going to need a quick drink for this one.
Little one, yeah. Just a little.
I'm looking at you, David, from Quincy, Massachusetts.
Why is it always the people from Massachusetts?
No, well, they're used to having long things, aren't they? Because they're named Massachusetts. They're used to using a lot of letters. I kid, David. Thank you for this. Hello, Sam and Tom. Sam's talk of Laserdiscs during the most recent episode compelled me to share with you a Laserdisc story from my youth.
Oh, now I'm all about the water text. See, you can just turn it on a penny. You mention anything old Tamagotchi's Laserdisc. You know those UFO yogurts with the toy in the middle? I'll turn into butter.
I was explaining these podcasts to a family member, and
it's just Sam and Tom chat bollocks for an hour.
We talk about Bovril for 40 minutes, and it's just like, my father was and remains super into sound and video technology. Nice. When Laserdiscs were first being introduced for public consumption, there was an electronics store called Circuit City.
Yes.
The chain has since gone out of business. We are familiar with... What would be the UK equivalent of Circuit City? Would it have been Dixon's?
Fucking hell.
Tandy?
Like so Dixon's was our tech retailer, right? Like you'd go there for... Well, not really tech. It was just, they'd sell appliances... They'd sell computers. They'd sell, you know, hi-fis and video players. You'd have like Index catalog store and Argos catalog store for like a lot of shit.
Maplin.
Yeah, Maplin's like... Maplin was like the point where you had like... Because you got Richer Sounds, which is sort of like the upmarket. Mm. You want to go buy your Bang & Olufsen thing. You want to have a massive home theater set up or whatever and a super high-end TV. You got a Richer Sounds. But Maplin, yeah, maybe. It's sort of that crossing point, isn't it, where... You every man could just walk in and be like, all right, mate, need a cable.
Need
and
a cable,
like, here it is. And then they closed it down while WCPW was a thing and we needed cables weekly.
Oh.
And it was like, what the fuck? What are you doing? You can't just close it down. We've now, like, because it turns a 10-minute trip up the road to grab a cable of any length you want to, like, get on eBay. It's going to take 3 weeks. Okay.
Because there was one. So for people who love the story of WCPW, there was a Maplin that was, like you say, 10 minutes up the road from the student union.
Yeah, it was literally round the corner. And you could just grab it.
I can imagine multiple occasions of, in my mind's eye, Sam Driver grabbing keys, whacking his coat on and rushing to Maplin.
Not particularly. I was too busy. It would always be like somebody turning, I've just been to Maplin, I've got all this. And it'd be bags of everything. And it'd be like, okay.
I bought one of everything just in case. Okay. So this Circuit City was giving a demonstration of new tech. Keep in mind that this store was a solid hour's drive from my house.
Which it's always good to do a big long drive to a single shop.
Yeah, it feels like a day like Toys R Us back in the day.
It's like a dad's day at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go look at speakers.
Dadsneyland.
Yeah. Check out this subwoofer. It could rattle the windows.
Yeah, I think we'll miss that, you know, as we get older. Where you get less of those trips to shops to...
It's all drink gonna, in the shopping's going to become like more of an experience, I think, because like I hear it from people who I know who are in like even things like car sales industry, like they're rethinking the entire model on how to sell cars, and so it's sort of like I think the idea of going into a shop now, unless you're getting like an expert there who can be like, hey, this is the brand new iMac, but without like pressuring you. And they can just kind of be enthusiastic about it, and or maybe more like personal shopping where you walk in and you've got somebody who's like, okay, let's go work some stuff out.
Yeah, that'd be
I
a
think
way
that's
going to
be the thing. But then that's when we strike back and we buy up all of the Metro Center and we just reopen things like Index. We don't sell anything. We just charge people 50 quid a pop to come into the mall and sit down with a slush puppy and get told to leave, stop hanging around.
So we give them the youth experience of the Metro Centre.
Yeah, you got to light about 1,000 cigarettes in each mall just to get that old 90s smell back in there.
Do we reopen Metroland?
Yeah, yeah.
The theme park within the
We need to do away with the TK Maxx and the home store thing. Love it. Love TK Maxx. Love the home section. But it was a better cinema. Put the UCI back there and make it the UCI. None of this Odeon crap. And we'll just charge people like 100 quid a pop, maybe 200 quid a pop, 500 quid a pop.
There you go.
That might even be able to get Quiznos in there, mate.
Ooh.
Not seen one of those in years.
Got a Popeyes in there instead of a Quiznos now.
I had Popeyes this past weekend.
It was from the one in the Metro Centre?
Yes.
Good?
Yeah. Yeah. I see why people died for that chicken sandwich during lockdown. Like, straight up. Like, I see why people died for that sandwich.
Anyway. Keep in mind, this store was a solid hour's drive from my house. Yes, it was. So thank you, Quincy. Thank you, David from Quincy. My dad needed to be in on the ground floor of this new tech, so he bundled me and my brother into the car and off we went. The store had done it properly for this demo. It was after the store had officially closed for business for the day, so there was a huge spread of food and drinks. There's a giant projector set up, about 150 folding chairs, a real proper event. At the time, I was about 12 years old. This would have been around 93, 94. So the lights dim and the presentation starts. And there's all this talk of line resolution and color distillation. Sounds like your perfect night out.
Oh, I love this shit.
And other things that my 12-year-old brain just could not care one single jot about. So I whispered to my dad, I'm bored. Can I go poke around the store? And he says, fine. And off I go. Now, this store is massive. It was three full floors. The Laserdisc presentation was happening on the ground floor. The second floor was the shop dedicated specifically to audio equipment. And then there was this room at the far end dedicated exclusively to car stereo systems.
Nice.
This was back when detachable faces for really expensive car audio systems were all the rage. So this room had like 100 of these car stereo faces lining the walls.
Now
the
you're talk about it. Dixon's did, didn't they? They used to have a whole car stereo section.
I remember Dixon's and Halfords did.
Yeah, and sometimes Northern Electric would just have like a random few hi-fis piled in the corner or something.
I think if you're in a Northern Electric, if you are in the West Midlands, you think Lindine Micro. Lindine Micro. Now, this store is massive, as he has very greatly described here. And because the room was closed off by a very heavy door, the car stereo room, I assumed that the room was soundproof. This assumption was incorrect. This is about to become painfully relevant. I ducked into the room and I started fiddling with some of the car stereo faces. A couple of them turned on and held a radio signal. So I began scanning the dial. I find Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love. I mess with the volume, I fiddle with the bass and the treble. I'm having a grand old time, just singing along and dancing like no one is watching. I turn on two or three more stereos. I set them to the same station as the first, and now Addicted to Love is blasting in this little room, having the time of my life, because again, I have assumed the room is soundproof. In my enjoyment, I did not notice that one of the walls in this room was all glass, and it's overlooking the Laserdisc presentation.
Oh, this is going to be bad. Oh, so, I can already feel the pain starting inside.
I look up mid-dance and discover, to my horror, that everyone in the store can see and hear me in this room.
No.
The Laserdisc presentation has completely stopped. Everyone in this room
How could it not?
I thought Robert Palmer had turned up. Everyone in the room is staring.
He's always accompanied by Addicted to Love. Anywhere he goes.
So that's a
there's not even these speakers. It's just emanating from him somehow. Every pore.
Out of his pores.
He's become a speaker.
He's addicted to pores. Everyone in the room is staring up at me, dancing around to Robert Palmer. Except one person, my father, who is so embarrassed he's holding his head in his hands, refusing to look up.
Hiding behind a stack of Laserdisc boxes.
The only thing I can hear over the music is my 9-year-old brother cackling with laughter as his idiot older brother gyrating like an absolute moron for all to see. Gentlemen, when I tell you that was the quietest car ride home in the history of car rides, I swear that's not one word of a lie.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we were one of the few families that had a Laserdisc player, and every time we watched a movie of it, my father would hum Addicted to Love to himself until the opening credits rolled on the screen. DVDs came in about 4 years later, and we never saw the Laserdisc player again. Thanks for all the content and smiles. David from Quincy, Massachusetts.
David, thank you so much.
David, man.
That was exceptional.
Well done, David. Congratulations.
Sorry about the cringe, mate. Still, the thing with Laserdisc is it costs a fucking bomb.
They were expensive.
It cost a bomb, and then, 4 years later, DVD's just like, yeah, no, I'm here.
Hello. And all that money you put towards a Laserdisc.
Sony were just like, you can pay £100 for a DVD player. You can pay £120 for a PS2 with a DVD player in it. And that was it.
And that was the end of the Laserdisc.
It was just dead.
So there was another presentation at Circuit City.
Yeah. You want to hope that basement's still full of old Laserdiscs, though. Some of them are worth a mint.
I love the idea of someone finding a bunch of old Laserdiscs. Mm. That's a lovely idea. Classic at cultaholic.com.
Be kind, rewind, but we accidentally wipe the discs. It's the exact same film. It's just there's no rewind. You've got to like burn it. You've got to use Nero Burner. Like it's 2004 again.
Take your turn, please burn. The people that brought you Be Kind, Rewind. We are in March the 18th, 1996 for this week's Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review. Number one movie in the UK is Nixon.
Nice.
By Oliver Stone. The story of Nixon.
Bit of a mentalist, but a phenomenal director.
The story of Nixon, who was a bit of a mentalist. Number one movie.
I thought you were going to get a phenomenal prime minister.
No. Number one movie in the US is The Birdcage.
Nice.
The Birdcage.
You want to fill the people in at home about The Birdcage in case they missed last week?
I made you short. It's the story of a very high up member of American government, and her daughter wants to marry the son of a nightclub owner.
I simply will not be having that.
And they simply will not be having that. It's a drag club, and it's the controversy that comes from it. They have to pretend to be a non-drag club owning family. Obviously, it's a gay couple as well, so hilarity ensues there, because again, it's a time where that sort of thing isn't looked down upon properly, so they have to pretend.
It was a social issue film.
It was a real... and it's genuinely one of my favourite films of all time.
I'm going to have to watch it.
It's brilliant. It's a film that we put on if it's been a rough day and we just need something just to make us feel better. We'll stick The Birdcage on.
That's it's Amelie for me.
Amelie's
my
nice.
Favorite film in the whole world, because I could have the worst day ever, and you just put it on, you can't help but smile.
We all
greatest.
Need films like that, and songs like that, like Mariah Carey's "One Sweet Day," which is still
Get
number
the
one.
Fuck out of number one! I told you, I'm in Hollywood next week. I'm going to find where she lives, and I'm going to write a strongly worded letter. I'm not fucking kidding. I'm not kidding. She's got to live in LA, right? They all do, the celebrities.
Oh, she just popped it back on. I saw an advert.
She's got to have at least two Christmas. Houses there. So, yeah, it's coming toward Christmas. She might be shipped off to New York.
She comes out of her cave at Christmas time. Her and Michael Bublé. Aaron Boone.
Oh, yeah, they've
got to
take different altering coasts.
Yeah.
And as they tour across the country, there's a big bit in the middle where they can't get too close, otherwise they'll fuse.
And then Christmas is over. And then Christmas is cancelled out of sheer shock. This week is
Santa maneuvering the battle lines between them the entire way.
It's not a good Christmas for Nelson Mandela.
It just turns
Mandela.
Out Mariah Carey and Michael Bublé are ancient pagan demons.
I think they are. I think they're like Benjamin Button styles people, where they've got a photo of them
you
aging.
You can't fault Bublé, though, can you? Like, he just found the lucky formula. Release an album at Christmas, everybody buys it for their ma.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, he gets it, and he's not deviating off the path.
Yeah.
I don't, no, him or Carey. I don't blame him. He's got gold.
I blame Carey.
My Uncle Noddy made Merry Christmas, everybody. He needs to worry about Christmas again.
Yeah.
He's sorted forever. Good old Noddy. It's nearly time to play that song again. What a joy.
We're allowed to legally play it now. It's November.
That's true, actually.
It's fucking Christmas soon, guys, and you better be in a Christmassy mood, because if you're not, I'm fucking coming for you. I swear to God. It's the one time of the year I'm happy.
It's
the one time of the year I'm happy.
It's the most intense festive cheer I've ever known.
You get fucking happy about Christmas. I don't care if you like eggnog. I don't, but drink eggnog. Do it. Cinnamon, everything. Put it in your spag bol. Put it in your beans. Just work, you just got to inject Christmas into your life. Bing Crosby on the go all the time. You know, why not?
Inject Christmas into you.
Yeah.
What's funny is on the Raw review,
Jack... I don't do shit with my house all year. Like sometimes for Halloween, but like Christmas, yeah, it's fucking trees out, everything's up. And if you don't take it seriously, you can cut out my house.
Did I tell you about the time when I put the Christmas tree up?
No.
During lockdown, world was a bit shit, so I put the Christmas tree up early.
Oh, I think you might.
Did it as a surprise.
This. Yeah.
For Alex. Because we'd had a rough week, and I was like, I'm just gonna put the tree up. So when you come home, the tree's there. And she was like, oh, that's lovely. Oh, my God. She was very happy about it. But then, like, as the days went on, I just started looking at it and it's like, very pensively. And then about 4 days in, 4 days after I put the tree up, she went, would you be upset if we did it again?
I said, did it fucking wrong.
That's basic.
Don't do things unless you do them right.
That was the kind of premise. And it's with nothing but love. And she said, the thing is, it's making me anxious, the fact that this should be... Can we just do it again? I said, yes, we can do it again. That's fine. And she's like, and bless her, she was like, I feel really bad. Like, I love that you did that.
Yeah.
But we've just got to do it properly. It's like, that's fine. We'll do it properly.
It's one of those things people get really particular about the tree.
Yeah, she's very particular.
I want a proper tree this year, but then I can't be fucked with the hassle of getting it out. Like, I can't. It's going to have to come in and go up two flights of stairs, which is fine. They're not that steep. Like, not compared to the last place I lived in. Fuck me. That would have been hell. moving in and out certainly was. But the new place, it would be fairly easy enough to get one up. But then it's getting it down and disposing of it, because I don't have, like... Even though I live in the city, I don't have a big city bin anymore. I've got normal fucking bins. So I'd have to saw the bastard in half, and then it takes up a whole bin. And it's just like...
It's a.
Or I could leave it on the front lawn and let it rot and turn it into a bench, but I don't think my neighbours would be very happy about it.
I'm sure they'd be fine with it. They're what you're talking about. It'd be fine.
If I plant it and just pretend it's still alive, it can just stand there rotting all year, and I can say it's a problem with the groundwater. Maybe that's what I do.
I want you to say that to your neighbours every morning.
It's a problem with the groundwater! But it's like Christmas with a cat, though, man. Like, how do you... You can't really have a big tree.
Well, it depends on the cat. Like, the first time we put the tree up with Pablo, he nudged one of the lower baubles, and just went, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, you don't get that pleasure with Cooper. Anything he can grab, he'll grab.
Oh, is he just
He will just straight on the tree, he will tear it down.
Yay!
So it's going to have
new
to be...
thing!
It's going to have to be, like, on a big base and then tied in wherever it's tied, so that when he goes leaning on it, it's only going to be able to go one way.
Oh.
So, like, Christ.
Exciting
little
new
shit.
Thing!
Little shit.
Aye, they all are, aren't they? Nelson Mandela!
Anyway, yeah, what's he doing?
Him and his wife, Winnie, are getting divorced this week. They've been separated since 92.
Because
Winnie had an affair.
Winnie, what you like?
Yeah. Isn't it funny? I always assumed that it was Nelson in the wrong. It was Winnie that had the affair.
And Winnie, what you like?
Okay, just they were not happy. Not happy at all. Winnie was approached for comment and said, oh, bother. That's a joke there.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Citizens of the UK were rocked by the news that humans were indeed susceptible to mad cow disease, brain condition caused by eating infected meat.
Do you remember this? I mean, you Christ.
Yeah.
Because it was this then, foot and mouth disease, wasn't it? I'll never forget, because we lived rural. Foot and mouth was a bad time to live rural.
Yeah, you,
there were like
imagine.
Checkpoints, like there were just piles of burning like animal carcasses. It was mental. Just like stacked up in the middle of a field. And it's like, what? The, what? I'm like, what? Like eight? Just like, this is ominous. But yeah, like mad cow disease. Fuck.
Ruined the agricultural business in the UK for years.
That's why I only eat Danish bacon. Peter Schmeichel sold me.
Well, just him personally.
He went, look, I know
it's not cow at all,
but what you should have is Danish bacon.
Peter Schmeichel cuts it off his own arms.
Yeah, while wearing his goalie gloves.
they're specially layered.
Made of Danish bacon. It's how they're so tough. And they've got a nice crispy crunch to them when he bats the ball away.
And when, you know, sometimes when they're playing and the game is very much at the end of the field, nice little snack for him.
People used to think he was just passionate because he'd do all that clapping his hands together stuff and, you know, getting really hyped. He was just making bacon bits to have a little snack on
there
the next time he went down.
He's having a little snack.
Yeah, he's just make a little pile of them along the line, and then when he saves the goal, cheeky treat for Peter.
Yeah. Hashtag cheeky treat for Peter. Oh, no, and he sometimes, like, when his team would lose, he'd bury his head in his hands and go, oh, no, I can't believe we lost.
And then he'd just not have any gloves on when he turned around.
Just suck them up like spaghetti.
He just breathes the bacon in. It's just slapped to the inside of his lungs. Just like...
Lovely. Shame we lost.
Like, you ever watched Florida Man on Channel 5? Like the all gas, no brakes. So there's a Florida Man 2. There's a guy who's just like smoking joints. But he keeps eating the roach. But he like, he does it the way you literally just did it. So he'll like take the last couple off. And then he just kind of goes. And it just goes down his throat still lit. And he just swallows it. And it's just like, gross.
Must be grim.
And he does it like, I think he sits there to prove that he can do loads. And he does about 11 in a row. As he's just casually like, what I do is this. As his throat's just getting more and more hammered.
What a nasty piece of man.
If he'd just done it with bacon, he would have been fine. That's Peter Schmeichel proven.
Yeah, he's a smoky bacon nightmare, Peter Schmeichel. This week's Classic Nitro review is titled Hulk Stroke is Becoming a Joke. The original main event for Uncensored.
Yes.
Was going to be Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Kevin Sullivan, and Lex Luger in a two-ring cage match.
Yeah.
Hogan has gone, no, brother!
It needs to be bigger.
Bigger!
Yeah.
Because more is more.
Yeah, well, it's the Ingrid Malmsteen thing, right? When he sat there with like the five Rolexes on and his Rolex sweater with his old strat, his like cream strat with all the scallop frets. And he's just like, how can people always say that less is more? And then he literally shreds like a load of neoclassical shit as fast as he can. And he's like, how can that be when more is more? And then shreds again.
That's exactly how the meeting went with
Hogan. And it's just like, Ingwe, you pretty much summed up quite a lot of the general entertainment business there. But yeah, wrestling in particular loves a bit of more is more.
They do. And Hogan loved the more is more here. He wanted a Savage in the match with him as well. And therefore, it couldn't be 1-on-4. It had to be 2-on-8.
Yeah.
And double the amount of cages.
Look, fuck
quickly.
You want to boo Hulk Hogan? Kiss goodbye to anybody that you might like.
Yeah, because we're going to beat
like,
them all up.
Like the Dungeon of Doom.
So it's going to be Ric Flair. It's going to be Arn Anderson. It's going to be Kevin Sullivan. It's going to be Lex Luger and a few more people. Which few? We'll see a few of them a bit later on. Let's talk about one of them right now, actually. Brian Pillman is in the news this week. He is done with ECW. There was a dispute between him and Paul Heyman.
It was all work anyway. He's coming back to WCW.
Well, it's funny
Look,
you say that.
It's contracted. It's fine. He said he'd do it. We know he's coming back.
He officially quit ECW, though, after a disagreement on the phone with Paul Heyman and Steve Carell. Not that one from The Office. They disagreed regarding payment for the production of a commercial for Pillman's 900 line.
Okay.
It's always money, isn't it? Yeah. Weird that. Because Pillman said part of the agreement was for him to go to ECW was that they would fund the commercial for his
ECW
900
would
number.
Fund his fucking 900 number.
But instead, Paul Heyman just sent
what?
Him, of an invoice.
But in what world? Yeah, in what world are ECW going to fucking... I know that they're probably in on it a little deeper than Bischoff is, but fuck me. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't pay talent, man. They're not paying for a fucking 900 number.
And they weren't, because Pillman...
You have more money than that promotion at this stage in your career.
Because Pillman got an invoice for $7,600.
Oh!
And he went, hey, I'm not paying that!
You'd think Turner would have wanted to have controlled that anyway.
You'd have thought so.
Yeah, like, they'd have just gone, there you go, there's a number you can use, we'll staff it, and you just got
to
be here.
But again, they're playing this so close to the card. They're playing their cards so close that they don't want to involve too many other people in it. So they're freewheeling it a little bit. But Pillman is back into the fold. Who behind the scenes was the loudest voice in getting Brian Pillman to return to WCW? Who do you think that was?
Part of me wants to say Savage.
It was not Randy Savage.
Was it not?
No.
Who was it?
Hulk Hogan. And I'll tell you for why. Hulk Hogan heard the reaction that Brian Pillman got from the crowd last week and has seen the conversation
online. If I
online.
Beat him, they'll cheer me harder. Yes.
Hogan ordered Pillman to return to WCW immediately to get involved with the storyline he was in. And I read about this in the Brian Pillman book. Oh. And Hogan was talking to Kevin Sullivan and Eric Bischoff and saying, yeah, I want to work with this young dude, brother Pillman, brother. Like, I like his style. Like, Pillman's the most talked about guy in the industry. So all Hogan, like, he just wants to suck the life force from Pillman. Well, I mean, doesn't want to work with Pillman.
He's sort of like the aging Hollywood star, right? In the 50s, when they're just too, they're around just a bit too early for the first golden age. It's like, I used to be a star. And then the talkies came along and ruined it all. And it's sort of, he's entering that phase of his career. Mm. Little does he know it's going to take the one thing he would never do to get to the point where he's more popular than ever. But he's going to get there eventually. Just let him keep being Hogan for now.
Mm-hmm.
Just Christ.
From The Observer, since Hogan's frequent changing of the booking winds up frustrating everyone, combined with...
No, really?
I know, right?
Just fucking changing shit on the fly pisses people off. Wow.
Who'd have thunk it? Combined with the fact that the WCW Saturday Night shows, where he is rarely on, are actually doing really good numbers... People are saying...
Because they show Hogan adverts. People are saying, where's Hogan?
Is that what it is?
Where's Hogan?
But this is leading people to go, do we need Hogan?
We do. That's why we're talking about him. Where is he? Bring him out. That's naturally the only thing you can read from that, right?
Amen.
Those shows would be doing even bigger numbers if Terry could be bothered to go. But he can't. So just be thankful that you get him on Nitro.
Hogan and Savage have both said, look, let us do what we're doing, brother. It's doing fine. Oh, but by the way, Bischoff, I don't think bringing Kevin Nash and Scott Hall in is such a good idea. This week, apparently, according to Dave Meltzer and The Observer, they've been trying to talk Bischoff out of signing Hall and Nash, saying that they don't quantify for the money that they're...
Look, we all know the real reason here, and it takes one to fucking know one. Little does he know they're going to become very good friends because they are so very well aligned in terms of their career motivations. But... it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that he's like, no, fuck them off, give me the money. Fuck them off, give me the featured spot. Fuck them off, get these guys in instead. Those are the nasty boys, Terry. We've just fired them. Don't worry about it. Bring them back in.
I'll put them over in the main event, brother. Where there's friends, there's wealth. But when there's wealth, there's friends. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of question marks over Hogan and Savage's situation backstage. They're not going anywhere.
No.
For the duration.
They're going to be tied down to some pretty fat stacks of cash.
Mm-hmm. And they don't want anyone else fat stacking the cash with them.
And this is the 90s. This is the last great era of just greed and fat stacks of cash. Like, I want this. It costs this much money. That's it.
I miss those days.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to go see Vince.
I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell Vince on you.
Yeah. And then Vince would welcome him back with open arms, despite calling him an old man. It would have been so good.
There's a timeline where that happens. Think about that.
No WCW NWO thing would be interesting.
And what then? How Hogan shapes the new generation? Hogan and Shawn Michaels.
I'll tell you how he shapes them. Right to the size of his, big size 12 boot, brother. They'll get right under that, and that's exactly where they need to be.
I'm gonna put this young up and coming Shawn
Bret
Michaels
Hart,
over.
Get
long
out.
I'm not. Yeah,
Bret go to WCW,
around.
Son.
Yeah, they'd go, wouldn't they? Shawn wouldn't stick around and put up with Hogan's bullshit.
No, I don't think so.
What would be a main event in WWF 96 at a Hogan's watch? Would it be Hogan and Vader?
Nah. Although there's easy history there. It'd have to be somebody younger. It'd have to be... Initially, he would run through everybody. So it'd be Sean, Brett, anybody he can run through. I reckon they'd want to get Sid back in the mix.
Hogan, Sid.
Yeah.
SummerSlam 96.
Because it's... Yeah, they can just kind of call back to very recent happenings.
Mm-hmm. With the squeegee.
Obviously, Lex would have done so much better in WWE, of course, as he did initially. With Hogan there, yeah.
It would have been an interesting... That's an interesting, like, what-if storyline. I like that. Let's go to Monday Nitro for March the 18th, 1996. Title sequence. And oh, my God! Loch Ness and the Giant are fighting.
Haystacks is getting the shit beaten out of him as he can barely stand by the Giant.
He is getting...
The show just cuts straight in to Giant beating the shit out of him on the ramp.
He's just battering him, isn't he?
Just absolutely leathering him. And then Lex Luger's music hits because it was supposed to be Lex versus Haystacks, I believe.
Yes.
Loch Ness. Lex just comes out and poses for a bit. Gives his belts to a stagehand, does a couple more flexes, goes to the ring. Yeah.
It was such... It was like a weird painting. Like an art installation. The one solid shot on the camera of Giant mashing the attack button on Giant Haystacks.
Like We have frozen.
As Leg Luger makes his entrance, complete with fireworks, not acknowledging what's going on there with the fucking monsters, and just walks straight past.
We got to sort the screen.
Oh, we've frozen again. Yeah. Oh, look, that's exactly what happened to Leg Luger.
There you go, back. I don't know when we froze, but we're back now.
Jesus Christ. I think it's when I thumped the table.
I have no idea. It just seems to be whenever it feels like it, the dick.
I thought this was a fantastic start to Nitro, despite the fact that it was our boy Giant Haystacks getting
don't
a clattering.
Don't call him our boy.
He's not our boy. He's our boy.
He's not our boy.
He's 100% our boy.
He didn't embrace Bovril, and look where he's gone. Straight into the Dungeon of Doom, straight into a shit tier story. Getting slapped about by the Giant. Getting slapped about by the Giant.
That's why he's our boy. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Ness. I'm rooting for Loch Luger.
He should have embraced Bovril. No, I think, you know, it's one of those things where they really mustn't have known what they were getting. It's fucking bizarre just seeing such a one-sided beatdown of such a guy they've really made to be a physical threat as best they could. Obviously, it's been quite slow matches, but it's all about him using his size and getting that burst energy speed. But he's just getting leathered.
Yeah.
And he's probably got attacked from behind and Jimmy Hart's jumping around, you know, squeaking. But
see, this is where I'm confused. And I don't know whether you can help fill in a gap for me, whether I miss something here. Doesn't Jimmy manage Loch Luger?
I believe that they address it on this show by saying that the Dungeon of Doom is basically imploded.
Right, okay.
So Jimmy Hart has
I missed that part.
Interests in like Luger. He's got interests in Loch Ness and Giant, but more so in Giant. It's weird. It's just really strange. But he's sort of in and around the whole Flair thing. And so they're kind of just merging a load of shit stories together. Sticking some scotch tape around it and going, there you go. There's your offer in for Uncensored, everybody.
Nitro.
We'll stick it in a cage. Not just one, but three cages. Oh, it's like that Bruce Lee movie.
Except it stars Hulk Hogan. The ref calls for the bell to start the match as Lex Luger's in the ring. It is a TV title match between Lex Luger and Loch Ness. The ref counts to 10 and Giant Haystacks is counted out.
And Lex Luger gloats and gloats and gloats some more. Goes to commentary, gloats some more.
Little pop for him as he's celebrating the shortest title defense in WWE history. I've been super tough on Luger. I've called him out on many occasions saying, I don't think he gets
he's
this.
He's perfect here.
This is spot on. This is bang on.
This is what they should have just been doing the whole time. Have him look that good, but don't have him wrestle at all.
Yeah.
Just have him as far away from it as he could put himself, but just have him still soak in the victory. Yeah.
Oh, that was brilliant. Wonderfully done. The crowd cheer and chant Luger because, like, obviously you could, because it's fucking hilarious. Bischoff says we've got a standby match after the break, except we haven't. We've got a standby promo.
Yes.
Fireworks and Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. For a rampway interview, not with Mean Gene Okerlund.
No, with Baby Schiavone.
Do you know where Mean Gene is tonight?
He's home with the flu.
He's got the flu.
Yeah.
So the story here is that Mean Gene
went into the water that wasn't hot. Did Mean Gene not listen? Did he not listen?
It's not hot, I told you. Fucking idiot.
So Gene put a thing on the hotline this week that said, Brian Pillman claims that he's had throat surgery this week and he's a liar. He hasn't. To which Brian Pillman went, yeah, I have. Here's my doctor's note, you fucking liar. I want compensation for you telling lies about me.
Oh.
Mean Gene, on the night where Brian Pillman was set to return and be a bigger part of an angle.
Conspicuously missing.
I'm off this week. Bye. I'm not saying he didn't have the flu.
When he called in, you could just hear the pool and you know, just the sound of glass has just been placed down next to him. And, yeah.
Sorry, I'm very... Put that cigarette out. Sorry, I can't be here. Everyone knows when you're phoning sick, you lie on the bed, you turn your head upside down, and you make the phone call with your head upside down because it sounds like your nose is bunged up. Everybody knows.
Well, you just
that.
Have a permanently bunged up nose like me.
Well, you do it that way as well. Have you ever had to throw a sickie at work?
Yeah, mate, come on, of course.
Nah, I'm just checking.
Never here. No. Because I, you know, it's
I quite like it here.
It's my own company, and I like spending my time here. But yeah, I've pulled sickies before. You just ring in, and you kind of, as you said, you gotta hunch yourself up a bit so that you sound a little bit more like you're blocked up. And then you just got to give it your best Oscar-worthy performance. You can't go too hard, though. You can't over-egg it because, you know, any number of things could happen. Especially on one of those days where you kind of got to get out of work but then go into town.
Yeah.
And it's super sneaky and you got to be like, fuck. Avoid anywhere that people are going to be.
That was a risky one. That was because I had to do a similar, another job where I had to phone in sick because I had an interview for somewhere else.
Oh, the classic.
Classic, isn't it? The classic. And I'm thinking the place I'm interviewing in is only about half a mile up the road. So I've got to be. I had a taxi that just pulled me up right outside the building. Yeah.
Straight in, straight out,
back again. Got the job. Next week went, I'm leaving. Bye. That happened. As I say, I've never done that here. If I had, I certainly would admit it in front of a shareholder.
Yeah. You'd be out on your ass.
But I definitely haven't because I quite enjoy being here. If anything, there's been a few occasions where Adam has said, just stop
just
working.
Just go home.
Go home, you're ill.
Go home.
I can still write with this hand. The other one's fallen off.
I seem to be having a stroke, but it's all right for now.
I think I've got over the worst of it. Yeah. So I'll put this news video together and it'll be fine. So Shivani's there replacing Gene and Tony's great.
Yeah.
Tony's effortless.
He doesn't have to do anything. He's got Hogan and Savage there.
Hogan talks about how the place is on fire with Machomania and Hulkamania. He's delighted that he and Savage now have the upper hand in the momentum against the Horse Dungeon.
Mainly because it's one of the only ways he gets cheered.
Yeah. Hogan tells Savage to call him from now on the dirtiest player in the game. This is where we're starting to find out what this doomsday cage match is.
Yes.
Because they're not massively specific.
They don't clarify very much, do they?
No. We have Savage saying there's a fine line between hate and love, which I think was him discussing his current relationship with Hogan.
Mm.
And then talks about the Texas Tornado tag match that they're in later on, going off, quote, nitroglycerin style in a little while. Hogan says there's no titles on the line and no stupid titles on the line in the uncensored cage match. They say they'll go through the baddies, quote, one cage at a time. It's not over till it's over. But tonight, for you guys, it's over, says Savage.
So it still sounds like it's three cages next to each other with people going through them.
It still
sounds
like that.
They don't really like kind of clarify what it's the type of thing you'd think they'd want to really be showing
with a match,
like showing an image of it. You want to see it. You want to be like, look at how ridiculous this is.
I don't get why they're not. I mean I kind of get why they're not, because in the last few days or maybe even a few hours the whole match has changed anyway.
Yeah,
but they have been very vague as to what a doomsday cage match is.
Like, yeah,
you don't know what it is.
Well, really. I guess, you know, the vaguer you are, the better it is, because then if anything goes wrong in the setup, you can change something on the fly and nobody knows the difference.
So. Yeah, the more perverted interest you can have in people coming in.
Yeah.
What you gonna do when Macho and the Hulkster run wild on you, brother, 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 hot dogging and grandstanding, and we cut to a break. This isn't any predictable wrestling. This is WCW, where the big boys play.
Yeah, something
that was
like
my
that.
Reaction to it as well. A big yawn. Here's the thing, right? We're like 8 minutes, 9 minutes into Nitro this week, and I feel like just they've gone. Pleh!
A big part of it is that anything can happen, and I did enjoy that they weren't afraid to bring out a main eventer like quite early in the show to do the stuff on the ramp, even if it did sort of kill some buzz. But It's very frenetic. It's very frantic. It started in a very WCW way. It's just not necessarily a great way to start a show looking back at it.
No. Thankfully, these four kick it into touch quite nicely. It's the Public Enemy versus the Steiner Brothers. Public Enemy's theme's been dubbed over on the network.
Yes.
One of two things that are removed from the network version of this episode of Nitro. We'll get to the other one a bit later on.
Ooh.
Woo! But I've looked it up online, and it's a Jimmy Hart classic. It's a copyright-free remake of what I believe is Here Comes the Hot Stepper.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds
quite
like
possibly.
That.
Possibly. You'll know if I'm wrong. But it's a shame because that version's quite nice. You're not going to get a textbook classic. Put down your notebooks and your pencils. And so we're told on commentary.
The first thing they do is go grab a table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second thing they do is an arm drag. Yeah. So I don't know who to believe. yes, a table is placed a little bit later on. We'll pop, you know, the same way that, you know, you pop a pen behind your ear for later. Mm. Scott Steiner, right. Does he not look like a fucking superstar?
Yeah, he does.
I think he's great.
But he doesn't look anywhere near as much as he should look, which is, you know, actual superstar Billy Graham, Scott Steiner, which is what we want. We want
he's
Big Papa
best.
Pump
he's
by
best,
now. I'm not waiting another year and a half for this shit. I want Big Papa Pump. Give me Big Papa Pump.
Give me Pump in my garden.
Give me the awkward phase Rick, where he's just kind of barking on his own in his leather jacket. But give me Big Papa Pump.
That's the best one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rest WWE 2000.
Especially when he's got Buff Bagwell in tow as his little bitch.
I thought you'd say when he brought a tiger to the ring that time.
Yeah, he apparently did that because he just asked for it and people were afraid. So basically by the end Scott Steiner has considerable political throw backstage at WCW. But yeah, like got to a point where he was known for occasionally being not like outbursty, but like outbursty. And from time to time, I've read that he'd maybe been a little bit kind of demanding of certain things. And so when he asked for a tiger, it was like, oh, get him a tiger.
Get this man a tiger immediately. Yep. Before he kicks off. I like at this point where like everyone's going like Hogan's like, I want a feud with Pillman. Oh, fine. I'm sick of all the backstage creative. Like some years later, I want a tiger. Yes, whatever you say, Scott. Bring back Hogan. What is it with Pillman? Steiner superstar, Tilt-A-Whirl side slam early on. Looks lovely. Scott and Rocco hit a stalemate. So they tag to Rick and Johnny Grunge. Some beefy strike action. The Steiners clear house with lariats and clotheslines. And they do that dog pose in the center of the ring that we come to know and love. Where Rick goes under Scott's legs. And
then does a bit of a bark. And then Scott rides on his back around the ring and they pretend he's a horsey.
And they go all the way to the back and they eat dog biscuits.
And then they
together.
Come back out dressed as a horse and cowboy.
But weirdly, Scott on top is the horse.
Yeah.
And Rick is the cowboy.
Yeah. It's like fucking with your head, you know?
Yeah. I didn't like it this
year. Years ahead of it. Matt Hardy stole everything from the Steiners, obviously.
They were ahead of their time. they came around
back
going...
when he had the freak universe.
He rode Rex Steiner around the ring saying, soon you'll have to pay $9 to be verified. And everyone went, what does that even mean?
I don't even... Where do you sit on that?
The windpipe.
I think it's just like, I don't know, you know, if it fucking gets rid of bot accounts.
I'll pay it.
I don't really give a fuck. Like, it's social media at the end of the day. It's all the same.
It's like it's a nice coffee. One less nice coffee.
I don't know. I probably won't pay it, but I just.
Quite like having a tick, though.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where I guess everything becomes a subscription service, right?
Yeah.
So, is it valuable? It's valuable. It's a good tool, but is it worth it? Would you rather have Audible?
And also...
I think I'd rather have Audible.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's about the same price.
That's a good shout, actually. And also, it means that when you can pay for the blue tick, like you're going to have just nutters getting a blue tick. It's not going to mean anything anymore.
No, but it means it's you, and that's the most important thing. I think, fuck the idea of it meaning you're a somebody. It should just mean it's you.
That's definitely me.
Yeah.
So no one can pretend
and that's
to
it.
Be
when
me.
There's a fake account, it's not you. Because you've already sent your ID, you've been verified. But then you've got to send your ID to Mr. Mysterious Billionaire. The man who wants to stick brain chips in everybody.
That's very true. I'm not in the mood for brain chips. I'll have mashed potato instead. Public Enemy take the lead with Grunge landing a bulldog onto a kid's chair outside the ring. It reminded me of the chairs that I had in school.
Oh, the hard molded plastic blue boys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And this chair, is man of the night. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
this makes a reappearance multiple times. This chair does. Rocco Rock lands a moonsault, goes for something else off the top, but Rick Steiner catches him with a power slam, not a bulldog. Catches him with a power slam in midair, which I thought looked great.
Yeah,
lovely little bit.
Explosive power, man. Steiner's.
Oh, I know. But then Steiner fucking wins the day with his fucking T-bone drop suplex. What do you call that?
I have no idea. It just looks brutal.
It looks amazing.
It looks brutal.
It was the T-bone position. Yeah. It didn't have the exploder part.
No. It just looked like that hurt like fuck.
Yeah. It was a bit like, you know, Ryback shell shock.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that, but off the top rope, and you just fall back. So he didn't really throw him over. He just
kind of went.
Down. We both go. Rocco Rock shocks Steiner and all of us with a fucking lion salt for an ear fall. Fuck me. Commentators admit, yeah, we got this wrong when we said, don't put your pens and pencils away. This is fucking wrestling. And that's great.
And I should know, I booked the fucking show. I didn't tell him to do this.
This is my night, baby. Rick gets laid out on the table from earlier. Remember him. Yeah. However, he's saved from oblivion by Scott. Pulls him away.
What a strong table.
Very strong table. Because Rick's not a light boy.
No, he's all muscle.
But not unfortunately, it wasn't enough to maintain as Rocco Rock lands through it. Then they drag Johnny Grunge into the ring. Steiner, double bulldog for the win. Mate, what a fucking belter.
Yeah. This is the thing. Is like, it's just... It's a hot mess most of the time. But between all the bullshit, WCW is entertaining.
Yes.
Largely. There's a lot of fucking bullshit to wade through, though. I mean, we had like a 12-week run of just the same episode of Nitro, it felt. But once you kind of get on the other end of it, you get that new injection of talent. It's pretty good.
Great work. Mm. The Booty Man's theme hits for the very first time.
The Butthole Buddy Tom. He's the only one retaining his branding, as I thought he was the only one hurting the show.
The Butthole. What did you, thoughts on the Butthole Buddy's music?
I want him gone. Who the fuck thought this was a good idea? It's just...
When Sam's annoyed, he's not even going to humour me.
Fucking clearly Brutus Beefcake. And I know you can't use Brutus Beefcake for some reason, even though he was Brutus Beefcake before he was Brutus Beefcake, I think. But you can't do the barber shtick, I get it. But the Booty Man? Still? This has been, what, 3 weeks now? The fucking Booty Man?
Is it because it sounds like Brutus, but if a child says it?
Kinda.
Booty.
Maybe? Either way, what the fuck? Yeah, I'll agree to be the Booty Man.
So
what?
I can't find anybody that explains the theory behind this.
So the Booty Man gimmick, from what I could gather from this week's entrance, which gave a little bit more background on him, is that he kind of likes to party and dance and rave a little bit. But doing so looking like a guy that your dad would hire to like retile the roof. It's if you put a work belt around him and like a vest and took off the ripped like trunks and put him in just ripped jeans, he would look like he was going to try and overcharge you for a roof.
So basically, he's the guy that turns up to the social club's disco night.
Yeah, that's his gimmick should have been. That should have been the Booty Man. It's just a dodgy like cowboy builder.
The Roofie Man.
Yeah. That's a completely different one.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it is.
Probably wouldn't fly.
Yeah, let's not do the roof.
Not even in the 90s.
The Tiley Man.
The Tiley Man.
Instead of strutting and cutting, you've got Mylin and Tylin.
Yeah.
Mylin.
I don't know what Mylin is, but yeah.
But he does the strutting and cutting. Obviously, we can't cut, though.
Yeah.
But he does the little dance as he fights Arn Anderson.
He's got his fingers taped together. He keeps trying, but as long as it taped the ends of his fingers together, he can only kind of do this.
Big red X's over his hands. Stop looking. Stop looking. He is facing Arn Anderson this week, and he dominates Arn Anderson.
He needs a good showing. That's the thing, because like, it's quite transparent. If you're a casual fan, you don't know who the fuck he is, then fine, right? It's a good thing for that, simply because... Hey, he's had a dominant performance against Arn Anderson. Second, if you know who he is, if you're kind of like us going, fucking booty man, what? Mm-hmm. He's still getting in there and beating Arn Anderson. So it's inflaming your anger to tune in and watch him eventually get the shit pasted out of him. But at the same time, it's kind of giving you the little visual refresher of, right, same guy, different character, and he's strong now. Look at what he can do against Arn.
They talk about how he worked undercover for the Dungeon of Doom, and he helped bring them down.
Well, of course he did. Who else was going to help bring him down? Sullivan, by actually bringing him down?
This is it, because that's my question.
Sullivan isn't friends with Hogan. He might wear the same colours, but he got his inspiration from McDonald's, I'll have you know. Hogan got his from the Florida morning sunrise. Red, white, and blue, brother. Yeah.
If that's what the sunrise looks
no,
like.
No, red and yellow, but as well as the red, white, and blue. You know?
Hogan looks out across the sunrise in Florida. He's like, those are my colours, brother. a hopeful sunrise, because red sky in the morning.
Who are we fucking
Shepherd's
kidding?
Warning.
It was 100% McDonald's. It had to be. People like that, and it's red and yellow.
Yeah, there's something about those particular marketing colour scheme. But seriously, how? How did Booty Man bring down the Dungeon of Doom within?
I guess to patch the very loose, very holy plot together for the Dungeon of Doom, the Zodiac was a character who could only communicate in yes and no, or random warbling, sometimes when it was like a former friend in danger. If it wasn't that, then he'd just kind of stand around. So he's somebody who just gets to kind of be in the background. And whenever they talk to him, he just kind of goes, yes, no, no, yes, no. And he can pretend to be, I guess, crazy or something, to be stuck as like a fly on the wall. But he's been risking life and limb in doing that, brother. And he deserves the $5 million a year he's going to get.
So he's been meeting Hogan in like back
Give him
alleys.
His $5 million, Eric.
All right, here it is. There you go, $5 million.
Well, he's been meeting Terry, but like, yeah, in a big limo that's paid for by Ted Turner.
And they've been meeting, and he's been there going, okay, right, here I am. Right, I'll take some makeup off. Right. How's it going, brother? Yeah, yeah. So I've got some intel. Cool. Hey, thanks for doing this. You've spent 2 years undercover. I appreciate you doing this. Like, you haven't spoken to your friends and family.
I can't come back, Terry. Yeah. I'm an institutional man now.
Oh, God, is he Keith Sutherland in scum?
I need to return to the Dungeon of Doom. And then he just walks out.
Oh, I like it. That's scum, isn't it? That's the film Scum.
And then he goes, nah, not really. Where's that money at?
But what's the intel, though, Brutai? Okay, right. Okay, I've done some digging. Right, what you need to do, right? Give him a big boot and a leg drop.
It's like, what's the new intel? Well, you're never going to believe this.
Yeah, go on, go on.
They're hiring.
Right. Who are they hiring?
Lock fucking Ness.
Oh, shit.
Are you going to defeat him?
What I'm going to do is...
I don't know how you're going to do it, Terry. He's like 600 pounds.
What I'll do is I'm going to sit on that information and act surprised when it happens.
Right, okay.
And then I guess I won't do any...
I guess if you promptly request to never have to work with the guy in any sort of extended capacity, then you're going to be grand. But just thought I'd give you that heads up there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Also, Sullivan is getting more red and yellow like gear made.
Oh, shit.
I know that's a bit of an issue with you.
Shit!
But there's not really a lot we can do. The dungeon don't have an HR department, and if I did complain, they'd probably trace it back to me.
Can you not change your name on the form?
I mean, I could, but we'd have to come up with an alias.
Dodiac.
No, I've got a better idea, mate.
Justice Anthony.
No. Okay. The Booty Man.
All right, okay. Talk me through it.
I love partying.
You love partying.
And raving. And I'm just all about shaking that booty.
Yeah. I mean, because when you think about dancing... You do think about shaking your bottom.
You particularly think about strutting and or cutting.
Yeah, but we can't cut.
We can't cut, so we can do strutting and strutting.
Yeah. I thought about roof tat. No, we won't do that again.
No. We can't do that. I'm not doing that gimmick.
But Booty Man.
With a bit of a side business I do have going.
So, yeah, that's fine. We don't want to HMRC, you know what the crack is. But yeah, if you write Booty Man on the... So are we saying that you write Booty Man on the form?
Yeah.
For complaints?
Well, that's who I am now.
Okay.
I'll just pretend I've come out of this mania or something.
Don't say mania without Vincent Mann.
Okay, sorry.
We have to call it Starcade now. I did that four times in the week.
You were talking to him last week.
No, it wasn't.
You were.
That wasn't Vince. Wasn't Vince.
I saw you in that fancy restaurant, that Denny's.
No, that wasn't me in the Denny's. I didn't even order a grand sandwich.
Imagine Vince McMahon in a fucking Denny's. Oh, Christ.
Was talking to somebody about... It was the Lovely Desert Island Grouse with Leon Slater. He's off to America for the first time next week. And I said, what are you looking for? He said, oh, the food. I can't wait to go to Denny's. Yeah. I can't wait to go to Wendy's. And I said, it's funny because, like, it's everything is it's different over here. It's the equivalent. Us getting excited about going to Denny's is the equivalent of somebody coming over here and going, oh, get in, Greg's. It's the equivalent.
It's almost Spoons-esque. You can't. Can you get drunk at Denny's?
I don't know.
It's like Spoons, but without alcohol. If they don't have alcohol. But if they do, then it's like Spoons, but more like a cafe.
I can't imagine Spoons more depressing.
Spoons
take the alcohol away.
What would the 7 a.m. crowd be doing? Having a cup of tea. It's weird, though, because, like, Wendy's is the boy. Mm. I will not have anybody slander Whataburger because it is trash, but it's the best type of trash. I'm going to get to try In-N-Out Burger finally because didn't have time to try it in Vegas. So I'm looking forward to that. But I was gutted to find out there's not a Waffle House in LA. There's just not a fucking Waffle House. And I wanted my waffles scattered, smothered, and fucking covered, man. I wanted to go to a Waffle House at like 3 a.m. because they don't have locks on their doors. They make their poor staff sit there all night. Oh. And I want to walk in there at the most inconvenient time and ask for waffles.
When no one's there and they're looking a bit tired.
And I want to make sure the entire time I do the awkward kind of stare as they're preparing the food, just on my own. All sinister.
Sit as far back in the restaurant as you can and just
sit right
stare
by the
across.
Sign where it's like, there are 12 million combinations on our menu. I've only ever been to Waffle House at like 2 a.m. It's the best.
That's the best time to go. The best. So Arn Anderson and the Booty Man.
Yes. To get back to it, we've avoided talking about it for as long as we can. We literally went on a side, a complete side quest involving a poorly acted out drama.
Brilliant acting, mate. What are you talking about? Phenomenal acting. I'm just not sure about the Booty Man. I mean, could you not be like John Simmons or something? Or like?
No, it's not going to work, man. It's not going to work. I need
you
to
could
be the
Terry
Booty Man.
Boulder.
See, I did enjoy being a boulder once upon a time.
Yeah, be boulder again.
I don't think I can go back to being Jeffrey Boulder or whatever my name was back
you were
in
Dizzy
the AWA.
Boulder.
Dizzy Boulder. That
I
was
don't
it.
Know why you could named after an egg.
No, the egg doesn't happen until I come up with that gimmick, brother.
Oh, I see. So Dizzy's named after you.
Yes.
That makes sense
which
now.
Which is why he's covered up, because they never knew which gimmick to do him in. So I just said, put him in a big egg. And then you see, I was supposed to be... Callback. It was supposed to be me coming out of the big egg at Survivor Series.
Oh, that
not
been
a lot
Dizzy.
Of people know that.
There you go. And it would have been fantastic, Dizzy. Now,
it was a mix-up, though, on the day, because I was still supposed to come out of it, but accidentally, at the warehouse, there were two fucking eggs. There was one for Hector Guerrero, right?
One for CMLL.
Hector Guerrero was just—he was on his way to like a big birthday party, and the whole thing was he was going to jump out of a big egg.
No, the one was Hector Guerrero. That's how he sleeps.
So Hector was having a nap in his egg, right?
In his turkey pajamas.
They were stuck. Yeah, Hector in his turkey pajamas inside the egg for my egg. And I was sat there all done up, brother. It was going to be the big debut of the Booty Man. Back when I was handsome, you know?
And he just noticed the lights go off. Guys.
You wouldn't believe it. I fell asleep in there.
That's why Hector looked so shocked when he came out of the egg.
I was in my big chicken pajamas.
I was dressed as the
Booty Man's famous chicken pajamas.
Here's Kimberly Page.
I think you mean the booty babe.
Sorry, the booty girl, oh, booty babe.
The butthole babe.
The butthole babe.
It's the butthole buddy.
Some dream of this. The butthole babe. It's here!
We're never getting through this match.
The butthole babe's here, and she wants a bit of booty. Woman squares up to butthole babe, but here's booty boy, butthole man, stepping in. Arn's like, come on, this is a fucking farce. Let's go home.
Arn's just like, you could have been Eddie fucking Boulder, mate. booty man. Fucking booty man.
Booty gets back in the ring as Arn is cursing the name Booty Man. As he gets into the ring, he gets hit with a running knee. a very meh trigger. And it gives the 1-2-3 to Booty Man.
The dominant Booty Man.
Do we know?
The dominant butthole buddy. Everybody needs a dominant butthole buddy.
Again, one dreams. The running knee is his new finish.
Yes.
Do you know what it's called?
The booty knee.
You're nearly there.
The boot knee. You're the boot, there. But spelled like a shoe, E.
It's not even that.
The boo? Just that's where you boo?
No, it's not the boo.
What is it?
The high knee.
But it...
Because it sounds like high knee.
Oh, Christ.
And if you watch on the Patreon, you can see Sam Driver's body leave his soul. Sam Driver's soul leave his body as he discovers this.
Because I was sat there like, it's a high knee, but it doesn't look like it was very high.
It
like,
wasn't
it
very high.
To get any fucking,
it's the only thing in that writer's room that isn't very high. It was the knee. The booty man delivered. It will get higher.
I just hope all of those backstage meetings with Hogan were worth it for him. That's all I'm going to say.
He's making a big bag of money.
He's making a big fucking mistake is what he's making.
He's making a big fucking mess.
Could have been Eddie Boulder.
Before our next match, we get a WCW commercial for our next pay-per-view spectacular. It features a very unhinged man watching a very exciting commercial.
This is the first time we've had anything that felt like it had a bit of fucking balls to it. Like from the marketing, like straight up, like it feels like we're moving into the era that we're in. Mm-hmm. Like this is 96. You've already had what Nine Inch Nails have released, Downward Spiral, Broken, and Pretty Hate Machine by now. Marilyn Manson is coming through. American culture is getting more and more alternative. Mm-hmm. As WCW still sat there going like, yeah, Booty Man, and Jimmy Hart and the Nasty Boys and shit. And as you know, WWF leans heavily into this very quickly, as ECW had been doing that anyway, and proved that that's what people wanted. So we're getting slightly more extreme marketing for a show that's supposed to be slightly more off the hinges. But you see like one whole table spot in the advert, which I thought was hilarious. One guy jumping off a ladder, maybe. That was it. It was like, oh, crazy.
Because they're just trying to find any crazy shit they've done.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to find.
But stylized, like it was a really good advert.
Can I take issue with the tagline?
Which is?
Uncensored, where they go, it's coming soon. Unsanctioned. Unauthorized. Unbelievable. Right. Okay. Unsanctioned. It's not, because how could it be unsanctioned Sunday on pay-per-view?
They've established that it's unsanctioned, so therefore any of the results can be overturned. There you go. So if we come out of that show with different champions and that next Nitro, it's carrying on, then we're going to write a letter to Ted Turner. I'm going to sit here all next time I'm here, because it won't be next week, and we're going to write a whole letter to Ted Turner, and we're going to post it. Tell him exactly what we think of his product nearly 30 years ago.
Here's my issue with you, Mr. Turner.
And Mariah Carey. There's loads to write.
Because you've got a long flight. A long flight you can write on.
Sorry, have you got some? I just need to refill my fountain pen with my blood.
Have you got a decanter for my piss
Mariah,
and vinegar?
How dare you?
Write a lovely letter in your own blood on the plane.
I couldn't believe when I woke up this week that I found out you were once again top of the charts in 1996.
I want you to get to customs at the other side and they go, anything to declare? Yes, I've got
just
this.
Like grey.
I've got this letter
blood.
For Mariah
it's like
Carey.
A tome.
This book's from Mariah Carey. It's written in my blood. Could you give it to her? Actually, give me your address. I'll take it to her myself. Yeah. Yeah. Would you like to go sit in this room for 2 weeks?
Oh, you're going to take me to Mariah?
Oh, yeah. And just sat there, like, looking grey. Yeah. I'm going to see Mariah. I'm just waiting for them to take me.
I'm totally going to do it.
Steph's gone on ahead.
Just like a mobile, just like, is it time? They're taking me to see Mariah Carey.
Yeah, of course we are, man.
Then all you can hear is just the opening bars of All I Want for Christmas.
They were taking him to Mariah. That's the twist.
And you do the circle fade down.
Unauthorized. Well, it's clearly authorized.
Yeah.
They booked a venue and they booked a time slot.
It's being promoted.
It's being promoted. So it is unauthorized.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because of the other two, therefore...
Well, you've not seen the show yet, so that one's still up for debate.
That
one's
Hulk Hogan
could turn into a pint of jelly. Yeah, that would be unbelievable.
We're going to go really unbelievable. Where, like, the show starts and every third person turns into sand.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, it can't be every third person because then people would work it out, but it needs to be unbelievable.
Tony Schiavone comes out, but he's got a big elephant's head. Boom, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Doesn't say anything about it. Doesn't say anything about it.
No. And all he does
is... We're going to go live to Tony on the ramp with Randy Savage, and he's just like, hello, everybody, it's me, Tony. And it's just a giant, like full-sized elephant head to the point where it's trailing on the floor.
And Randy Savage is hopping up and down on one leg. He's being interviewed and talking backwards.
He's not hopping. He's trying to hold balance because if you forget, he's a very thin cylindrical tube.
Oh, of course he is. This is where it's unbelievable. He goes, I'm going to win tonight. And then takes off. And we go, we knew it all along. Vindicated.
Lex is just buzzing away in the corner.
Shut up as well, Lex.
Somebody just opens his mouth. No, it's not finished yet.
I'm waiting for my smalls from Leg.
Oh, he's fucking, he's flooding, he's flooding.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Road Warriors are in action. They're taking on the Nasty Boys.
The National Heroes.
Of course. I forgot.
Spent a week in the Taiwan Strait. Sorting out all that.
That's where they've been. I forgot.
God bless them. The way, who initially turned down the job offer are now jealous of the medals and week off that the Nasties both earned. And then there's a point later, which we'll get to, that I can't wait to talk about.
Oh, okay. We'll see. We might have found the same bit. We'll go for it. It's immediately a tornado tag brawl. Sags goes flying into the crowd. Nobbs lands.
It's what you'd expect.
Oh, yeah.
It's just fucking fighting.
Just a brawl. Back from break. Nasty Boys on the offense until Hawk throws Nobbs off the top rope. Animal pulls Nobbs' rib tape off. Now Nobbs has got his ribs all taped up.
Yeah.
The classic wrestling trope of having your bandaging over the top of your clothes.
Your weakness exposed to your enemy, but also the audience.
The greatest example of this in the history of wrestling is Survivor Series 2005, in which the Big Show, having been put in an ankle lock for too long, has medical tape around his boot.
Yes. Well, you know,
when
you just got to get some tape on there. Do you never have like somebody in school, like a school doctor, who'd be like, I'll just stick ice on it? Maybe a kid with a bone literally hanging out of their shin. I'll just put ice on it, because as long as you survive past 3 o'clock, it's not my fucking problem, mate. Get yourself to A&E.
Paper towels at my school. It was those really harsh, abrasive paper towels,
yeah,
that were wetted.
The Kimberly Clark ones.
Yeah.
It used to be them with an ice pack jammed in the middle.
There you go. Which is what CM Punk's issue was, apparently. he pulls off the tape. Very heelish maneuvering from the Road Warriors once more. Animal clatters both of them with that same kiddie chair from earlier. It's back again, everybody. Strange to have Nobbs as a babyface in peril for a lot of this match. Mm. I feel like he's kind of the babyface. Eventually, he dodges a body splash from Animal by getting his knees up and then makes a tag to Sags. And it's all looking like it's turning in the direction until fucking Steiner's turn up.
Yeah.
They're trying to rush the ring to, I believe, to get at the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
But the Nasty Boys want a piece of them too.
There's a whole kind of ongoing thing with Steiner's wanting just direct access.
Yes.
So it's like they're going to come out and try and just fuck with, aren't they?
But they also asked the question on commentary, you know, were the Steiners involved in the Nasty Boys trip to Tijuana? As it was better known. And all three teams end up fighting. This ends with Animal in the ring and Nobbs. And Animal has a weapon.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of the shoulder pad.
Again,
as he used last week. And he spikes old Nobbs with the pad.
Right in the knob.
Right in the knob, i.e. his head. And pins him. 1, 2, 3. Outside the ring, Hawk is swinging with that kiddie chair to kind of see the Steiners off. A bit like the way that Larry the Downing Street Cat kept that fox away.
Yeah. The bit I noticed was on commentary, there's a point, because it's exactly the match you think it is. You can already, if you close your eyes, picture it. It's you know exactly how the match is going to go. It's a Road Warriors where they're kind of like, you know, oh, can they quite get the job done? They seem to be cheating a lot more, and the Nasty Boys are just generally wild, and then you add the Steiners to the mix. You know the crack. But there's a point where I think Bobby goes, it's exactly like a Chicago street fight. And then just as he's about to finish saying it, Eric's like, no, it's not like a Chicago street fight, because that's happening on pay-per-view. Don't fucking make them realize how shit the Uncensored show is going to be, guys. Calm the fuck down. There's also something we missed earlier during the Public Enemy and Steiners match, which is confusing.
Okay.
Which is Eric Bischoff on commentary. He does this several times throughout the night, just going like, Dennis Rodman has been suspended. God, everybody knows he's friends with Hulk Hogan. He's probably going to be at Uncensored, isn't he? Oh, wait and see.
Yeah, he says but doesn't say that Dennis Rodman might be a part of
He all but confirms. The language he uses, it's so loophole-y, but the language he uses heavily indicates that Rodman is going to be there. And Rodman ain't going to be Uncensored for an entire year. I don't think he's even in the crowd at 96.
Naughty Eric.
Yeah.
Naughty boy. Thoughts on Warriors versus Nasty Boys?
Yeah.
It was just a clusterfuck, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just a bit of a brawly
fucking
clusterfuck.
National heroes getting betrayed like that. Fight for this country.
But it's all right because, you know, that was the tornado tag match for the night. Yes. Coming up next, our main event. It is a tornado tag match. Bad pacing on this show.
Yeah.
Bad pacing.
Well, then you've got the names you've got involved, I guess it's just one of those where it's stacked in a way where it's like, well, if they don't want to go out earlier, it's going to be a double header main.
Yay. Ric Flair and the Taskmaster, the Horse Dungeon, will face Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, the Mega Friends. Same as the last match. And basically,
yep.
Everybody fighting everywhere. What they do differently this time is they've got split screens for when one is on the other side of the ring. I think Flair and Hogan were squared up for a while. I believe Savage and Sullivan were squared up for a while.
Yeah, brawled down. I think Flair and Hogan brawled down to the start of the ramp, whereas, you know, Savage and inside the ring just sort of cracking on.
He wasn't cracking one.
Just cracking one out.
He's got to do something.
Just having a sly wank. Randy's just sat in the corner by the steps. With just the ring skirt just over. But you can see that there's just slightly more of his thigh than you'd normally be able to see. And his right hand is conspicuously missing as he sweats and aggressively stares directly at Tony Schiavone.
As we all do, when we have a little tug.
Hey, what are you going up to during your AEW viewings? None of my business.
How we watch wrestling is different, and that's fine with me. The crowd are up. So is Savage. As he has little Tommy Tug, Hogan slams Flair off the top rope. There's punches in the corner. The spot of the night in this match is the figure fours, because Savage gets put in a figure four by Flair. And Hogan...
I love this.
Instead of saving his mate... This.
Instead of saving Savage, all he had to do was take two steps and literally just gently rest his foot on somebody, and it would have broken it up, as are the laws of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he chooses to lock in his own figure four, and he takes his sweet fucking time doing it. It is...
The laws of physics are not in their favour here because it's the long legs of Hogan and the short little bollardy legs of Kevin
and
Sullivan.
It's going to be difficult, but like this, the pace to that seemed like that would be so much quicker because Hogan at several points is just staring at Savage screaming in agony and just going, ah, that's a good fucking idea, that. Sullivan, where are you?
I feel like Hogan was trying to look at the legs to go, right, it's that one over there. You know, you watch someone when you learn to your shoelaces. Spot, just like, as a kid, when you learn to see your shoelaces up, yeah, and you watch someone else do it, and you're like, and first time you watch it, it feels like a weird bit of magic, and you're like,
I am 99% sure I still don't tie my laces properly, but they get tied, and that's the important thing.
Tie them around your arms, carry them to work with you. So the figure fours don't work because Savage fights out of his with Flair. Flair gets into a squabble with the referee, and the ref ends up pushing him down as well. This whole match is just a clusterfuck. Flair cracks Hogan with the most deadly weapon in wrestling, woman's shoe.
I think Baby Chair even gets a little out in
Baby
as well.
Baby Chair gets a little out in a moment because after Hogan hooks up... After Hogan hulks up and gets started on Flair, Arn Anderson comes out. He trips Hogan up to stop him doing the big leg. And then outside the ring, we've got the little chair. And there's a kerfuffle outside the ring.
There's
a kerfuffle. And it's Brian Pillman.
He's
over
back.
The barricade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who could have predicted this?
I know, right?
Oh, shit. No way.
He jumps the barricades.
He just really needed that $7,000 for the 900 number, guys.
That's why he's done it. Just give me the money for this. Now, based on what I'd read before I started watching this, I was keen to watch the interaction between Hogan and Pillman and how minimal it was.
Well, you know, he doesn't want Pillman to be outshining him. Mm. He just wants him to be present and beatable.
But Pillman was neither of those. Because Hogan at one point went to grab Pillman from the back of the head as he was fighting on Savage, like to pull him in to give him some punches. Mm. And Pillman just immediately just shrugs it off, breaks away, goes to the other side. Hogan follows. Like Hogan, like a dog on heat.
Please.
It's just like heat magnet. Goes straight to Pillman again and gives Pillman a punch, to which Pillman, you watch his eyes light up and he chops the shit out of Hogan. And then Hogan ends up giving him something else. And then Pillman ends up staggering away.
Yeah.
Like, Pillman tries to keep as much
distance.
Separation just from him and
Hogan.
Get
away from me, big Tesla.
Yeah, stay off me, Tez, you big weirdo. The booty man makes the save because at this point the heels of the faces are outnumbered. But don't worry, not for long, because here's Jimmy Hart, bring it out. Who the fuck are these two? Two beefy boys dominate the landscape and they join Kevin Sullivan, they join Arn Anderson, Ric Flair in the ring, and this leads to Hogan, the Booty Man, and Savage leaving the ring out of fear. They want nothing to do.
It's the promo that comes afterwards.
Let's dig in. So, Hogan and Co. leave the ring, and Flair's like, hey, you don't want any now? Where are you going, Hogan? Where are you going, Hogan? Let's talk you through who these two are before we do anything else. So, the two who have joined the horse dungeon.
Yes.
First is Tommy Debo Lister Jr., who we will know as Tiny Lister.
Or...
Zeus from movie No Holds Barred. Now, him and Hogan met on the set of the movie No Holds Barred in 1989.
Famously had a fantastic run in WWE, held all the gold.
Yes.
Could apply multiple headlocks.
They turned the No Holds Barred movie into a WWF storyline, which featured Zeus, who could do fuck
which
all.
Which made no sense, because it was, what was fucking Hogan's name? It was like Rip Thomas or some shit, wasn't it?
So his feud wasn't even with Hogan, it was with Rip.
But it was like, my God.
It was a way of promoting the No Holds Barred movie, which is...
Dookie.
It's quite the movie. Ross and I watched it during lockdown. You can find the Wrestling at the Movies podcast where we do an alternative commentary to it. Oh, no, it wasn't Ross and I. I apologize. It wasn't Ross and I. Who did I watch? Who did I watch it with? I watched it with... oh, gosh, I'll find it for you and I'll send you a link to it. But we did end up watching it, and it was a lovely film. So Hogan's enemy, Zeus, is here, but he's not the only one here. We are also joined by Jeep Swenson, as he was known in the real world. Formerly wrestled for World Class Championship Wrestling in the late 80s. And he debuted for... he was in the Guinness. He was okay. So let me get this right. According to Jeep Swenson, he actually has the largest biceps in the world at this particular point in his career. In the Guinness Book of Records, you could find Jeep Swenson for the big old pythons, brother.
I think that their biggest are 24 inches, though. I get told that on a weekly basis.
Well, you'll find that you're wrong because Jeep Swenson.
No, nobody's allowed bigger. It's instant execution in America for that.
He debuted for World Class in 1987. He beat Perry Jackson in 2 minutes, and he ended up feuding with Bruiser Brody. And the matches were as good as they could be. Bruiser Brody was always great, but Jeep was very limited. However, the size of this man and a friendship with Hogan meant that these two would be star-crossed lovers that would find each other, and they did on this day in 1996. Now, let's...
Months away from NWO. It's amazing, isn't it? When you think about how much the business is just about to change, and we're still rolling out very comic book-esque characters.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that, is it Arn introduces Zeus as like, everybody knows who this is. This is one of Hulk Hogan's most famous opponents. It's like, ah! Now, in one way, yes, but really, no. Just no.
So they have a little chat to the baddies with these new lads in. Kevin Sullivan says he put the call out, and these two answered when he said, I need someone to help me end Hulkamania. These are the only two that answered.
And there were no bites.
Jeep Swenson was actually also in No Holds Barred. I forgot to mention that. He actually played one of the pit fighters in one of the early scenes. There's a pit fighter called Lug Wrench. And that's Jeep Swenson.
Nice.
And that's where he met Hogan. And that's where their friendship found. I've got to mention that earlier. So Kev says these two answered the call. Jimmy Hart says Hogan and Savage aren't Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, as they refer to themselves on a few occasions. They're more like Dumb and Dumber, which I thought was a good line.
Or American Hero and MIM-104 Patriot Missile.
I mean, there is that as well.
Yeah.
They don't like us knowing that. Flair challenges Hogan to do something about it. Arn Anderson says that they one-upped Hogan and Savage with unadulterated violence, and they want to make Hogan and Savage slow bleed and uncensored. And then Kevin Sullivan addresses the elephant in the room by, as Sam said, going, you know this That's guy, it. He's one of your greatest opponents. And then they cut to the other guy, and they go, this is the alliance to end Hulkamania. As Tony Schiavone agrees. Now, the network actually removes a big part of the dialogue here.
Okay, inform me.
It is in this, we're reporting what happened.
Tom's about to say something really bad.
I am, but I'm not saying.
And it's definitely the words of Tom Campbell.
It's not the words.
These are not the words of Cultaholic.
No, it's the words of Kevin Sullivan.
Also known as local radio presenter in the northeast of England, Tom Campbell.
For how much longer? he introduces the world to Jeep Swenson, who he describes as the final solution to end Hulkamania.
Yes.
Now, if you're not a history buff... We should fill in the blanks.
It's a pretty big one. Does it really need explaining? The final solution was something touted by the National Socialist Party in Germany in the 30s and 40s, Nazism. You kind of, knowing the things they did, obviously, not very nice in any respect, but the final solution was their
plans to get rid of the Jewish population. And it was
trying to find a way to word that there, because it's such a
horrible thing.
You can't quite sum up how horrible it is.
And without any prior research to any of this, they decided that this guy should be called the final solution.
Yeah.
And it wasn't met with the greatest of responses.
No, not that it would be.
A U-turn visible from space.
You could even hear it backing up.
You could hear them backing up on this. And the next time we see this guy, it's going to see James Swenson, he'll be called the ultimate solution.
Which is, I mean, still just, I mean, yeah, that's... Ultimate's just another word for final, but it sounds even worse.
Now I think Jim Helwig's coming in.
Yeah.
But they...
burned on that one before, though.
Yeah, we played that game
with the Renegade.
But they, in the network version, that this none of this exists. It's been very carefully removed from the conversation on the network, as it fucking well should.
Yeah.
But of course, for purposes of reporting, it is online. The original version of this... promo is online, and you can hear Kevin Sullivan just introducing the guy as the final
solution.
Just,
how do you not know that's a bad fucking idea? How do you not know? It was only like 50 years beforehand. Oh my.
They did it anyway.
Yeah.
And then they fixed it very quickly.
But at one point during the final match, the things aren't over yet, Tom. Eric Bischoff makes it quite clear that the C in WCW stands now for commitment rather than championship. So World Commitment Wrestling, which is a curious name, no?
Yeah, it doesn't scan as well as I would think.
So what do you think Eric meant by this? Don't think it was some sort of throwaway line just to make viewers, you know, feel like it was exciting and they were getting a bit of Brucey bonus.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're committed to staying even though it's gone past the hour or whatever. It's really World Championship Wrestling. I was just having a laugh. It was a Freudian slip.
Are we about to get another Sam Driver truth bomb?
We are. The rabbit hole's about to get a lot deeper. So, in
grab
fact...
both hands of the rabbit hole and prize it open.
Like it's fucking goatsy. In fact,
that rabbit hole open.
While the nasty
spit
boys
down it and crack on.
While the nasty boys were tearing it up in Taiwan, Mark Mero was getting the hell out of Dodge. But why? We heard the convoluted tale from Tom, or lies, about his daughter's birthday. But come on, real life isn't even that serious. When I go to the shop for a meal deal, there isn't some Faustian demon waiting to take my soul. So therefore, the Mark Mero thing didn't happen. Clearly,
right?
Clearly,
okay.
Real life is boring. Things like that just don't happen. So why did Mero really leave, and what does it all mean?
What does it all mean?
Well, in an attempt to stop talents jumping to New York, Bischoff instituted a bit of a new rule for the WCW locker room, and that's that all talent must be wed to one another. Now, if Hulk and Randy are too busy bickering over which side of the bed they're sleeping on or who's used whose pube razor, they're not going to want to jump ship, are they? They're going to be too busy bickering.
Right.
So in short, obviously with the Mero thing, Sable was having fucking none of this. So Sable was like, come on, New York, let's get out of the madhouse. And how can you marry an entire locker room en masse? This is like a bigger question.
Yeah.
So it would be a telltale sign prevalent throughout the show. You've talked about it several times. You've touched upon it several times. It's one of your favorite factors of the entire show this evening, Tom.
Tornado tag matches?
No, it's the work of Big Furniture, mate.
Of course.
I'm sure you noticed the use of the hard-molded blue chairs throughout the building.
Well, just the one kept coming up.
We also had a suspicious last-minute Public Enemy match that showcased the U-Hire Model 5 marriage special table.
I thought it was a different model. I couldn't remember if it was the 5 or the 4.
That's the one. It had the folding portion in the middle. The Public Enemy themselves actually are former priests and furniture salesmen who one day, while fixing a parish roof, fell off a 35-foot ladder, invented a new move, gimmick came. You know, it's all just kind of everybody knows that story.
Yeah, we all know that story.
But they just needed a way to sort of facilitate going into wrestling and using their priest powers to sort of make everybody good, I guess, while selling furniture. So they paid Jimmy Hart £12 for a theme, right, before the show. And he's like, we'll shoot a music video with the giant Loch Ness. And he's like, yeah, we'll just have them out there fighting. They'll be up there talking. We'll just quickly film it. But no, they just told Giant that Loch Ness, after telling Jimmy Hart this and getting it all sorted, they told Giant that Loch Ness is the one who double parked and blocked him in. And then Loch Ness just got fucking obliterated by Giant.
Oh.
So then following the show closing brawl, the entire locker room was then wed. They closed all the doors. They brought out Public Enemy and they made it happen. A colossal fuck-up, however, meant that the 10,000 or so on hand were also wed to the wrestlers.
Oh, shit!
Most history books and The Observer in particular overlooked that one. People are nostalgic for the 90s, but I think it's just despicable behaviour from Bischoff and the officials, and big furniture must be stopped.
Is that why you have all those people getting arrested for illegal marriages?
Yes, probably. Yeah.
Because of that, no, through no fault of their own.
They go to get married, and it's like, oh shit, you went to that Nitro taping, didn't you, in 18th of March 1996?
Yeah, so you're already married.
Yeah, you're already married, mate. You're going to prison.
They're like 5 and 6 year olds that were there that were already married by that system, by Big Furniture.
Jeez. Big Furniture needs to be stopped, mate.
How do we stop Big Furniture?
You're using furniture right now. We're all using furniture.
So do we just stop using furniture?
Yeah, but then what constitutes furniture? Is carpet technically furnishings?
Well, carpet is carpet.
We need to learn how to hover.
Okay.
Can you hover?
I can try.
I see this going so wrong.
It's going all right. There we go. If I just stand like this.
Like Randy Savage.
Okay, so we'll have to hover from now on.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, when it comes to Bigfoot... Where does the rabbit hole go? Like, is Big Bovril involved?
Well, I think that we've got to do some more exploring, but Bovril's certainly got some interests going on.
Yeah.
We're talking about them for some reason. And what? Why is that? Is it a Bovril ray?
And where?
Are they blasting you on the high street as you walk into work? Just Bovril. Is it like, you know, They Live, where you put some sunglasses on and every billboard's Bovril?
I did notice. When everybody who opens this morning, my headphones were saying Bovril over and over again.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it. I just thought like a YouTube ad.
It's your alarm tone. You just never realised.
Vril bob, 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 vril bob. Have Bovril.
Do you know there is a weird conspiracy though in and around Bovril?
Yeah, we've talked about it extensively.
No. There's an actual one in terms of the name. So Bovril, bovine is the bov part, right?
Yeah.
Or bov. Is the bovine part, because it obviously comes from cattle, ox, whatever the fuck. But Vril has its own entire thing, and it's linked to like Nazi occultism and all sorts of stuff. But essentially, Vril is this like, it's the belief in like this ancient race of powerful people. And I think it's where the Nazis got their understanding of what they thought Aryan meant from like that, I think, when I've read up enough about it. But it's still one of those things where you fall down. But yeah, it's sort of like he chose it because back before it was involved with them, it was just generally this sort of book that spoke about this thing, and it was all about power. So it was like the power of the bovine, so Bovril.
Cow power.
Basically cow power, yeah.
Wow.
But Vril would later, like, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, however many years later, would then sort of fall into certain occult circles that would then sort of make their way through the party, because they were kind of obsessed with the occult, depending on some people. If you go back and look, there's a lot of like weird occult stuff. Spear of Destiny, all that.
I thought you were gonna say like Bovril because bovine, and then the real like the devil.
No, it's like devil. If you can search for something called the Vril Society, and that's when I was like, what the fuck? And it was like, yeah, this is like actually a thing.
What if we, as a joke, have started this thing about the Bovril conspiracy that turns out actually we have stumbled across a Bovril conspiracy.
It turns out Bovril are like controlling the world.
And someone's going to go, shit, they're having a joke.
They need to be stopped.
Like, do we stop them or do we let them carry on the jokes? Everyone thinks they're idiots.
Or do we fire the crazy laser at them? Because then we'll go from talking about the truth to all of a sudden you'll come in and go like, I saw a sparrow. It's definitely a robot. Because that's another conspiracy, is that birds aren't real.
Oh, they're all robots, aren't they? Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. God, I mean, that's extensive.
I think that one's more of a piss take, but it's, yeah.
I mean, the robots in my area really like the seed I put out for them.
Yeah.
This is nice.
They got it. It's how they convert it to energy, man.
What I might do tonight is line Bovril along my balcony and then see if the birds land and start talking Latin. He's off to LA now, so wish him luck. Have a lovely time.
I'll try not to get shot, everybody.
Try not to get shot.
Try not to fall off a skateboard, and I'll try to...
Are you submitting a film while you're over there?
No.
Everyone submits a film.
I wish I had a script just to go and throw, an unsolicited script just to go launch at somebody. Just
write one on the
plane. And they go, I can't fucking read one. It's unsolicited. I don't care. Just ping it in
again. This is what Hollywood is.
Like some fucking paper boy on a rental scooter, just like lobbing this brick. And it's actually just my letter to Mariah Carey.
I'm excited to see how long it takes you to get arrested in Hollywood.
I hope not at all.
I mean, I hope not at all. Maybe 3 days.
Yeah, it depends entirely what we get up to. Because it's like there's a couple of canyon walks I want to do. There's beach. There's a lot of museums. There's I want to go up to the observatory. There's so much fun to be had, mate. There's so much fun to be had. And I'm excited. Kind of just stressed though, because I'm in the early pre-holiday, just like fucking, you got everything, and having to fly post-COVID with all those rules is just like, I need to double and triple check everything. And Jesus,
you'll have a lovely.
But the second I'm on that plane, I'm getting drunk as fuck, and then 14 hours later, I'm in LA.
Way, we'll see you when you get back. And until he is back, he is at the Sam Driver on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.